Great, and our second reading today is from Philippians chapter 2, so verse 1 to 11. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, consider others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mind as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let me lead us in prayer. Father, as that last song, as we sung in that last song, please show us Christ. Please help us to see the wonder of who he is. Please help us behold his glory, that we would want to become like him. Thank you for his mercy to us when we're not. Please help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone ever seen this going around Twitter? The interviewer says to Donald Trump, you're not known to be a humble man, are you? And he interrupts her and says, I think I am humble. I think I'm more humble than you would understand. No word of a lie. Those are the words. You have to go and check it on Twitter. I mean, I could have been making it up. He could have been saying, no, I don't think I am humble. Go and check it on Twitter. It's there. You're not known to be a humble man. I think I am humble. I'm much more humble than you can understand. Mike Pence's face is a sight to behold. C.S. Lewis said something a lot more profound than Donald Trump. He said this: a really humble man isn't greasy and smarmy, always telling you he's a nobody. Instead, he'll seem a cheerful, intelligent chap, if you meet him, who takes a real interest in what you say. If you dislike him, it will be because you envy someone who seems to enjoy life so easily. This man will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. Okay. So in previous weeks in this series, we've looked and seen different paths to humility. So we've considered our finiteness, you know, be more humble with just dust. Our finiteness humbles us. Our failure humbles us, we've seen. Reasons to think less of ourselves. Today we're doing reasons to think of ourselves less. That true humility consists of thinking less of ourselves, but thinking of ourselves less. So it's been said, there's nothing that makes you more miserable or less interesting than self-absorption. How am I feeling? How am I doing? How are people treating me? Am I proving myself? Am I succeeding? Am I failing? Am I being treated justly? Self-absorption leads us static. And there's nothing more disintegrating. We know what it's like to be around somebody who is self-absorbed. We don't like it. And yet, what's it like to be around us? Maybe we'll ask. We're hyper-aware. Maybe it's just me. I think this is true of all of us. We're hyper aware of what's going on with us and under aware of what's around us. Now, sometimes when you're hyper aware of something, it's a sign that something's broken. Okay? I went for a run the other day, just to make myself look good. But to make myself look bad, I just tripped over my own feet and fell. And I thought it was going to be enough to just put my hand down, I was going to steady myself. But no, I had to do a full commando roll because I was going quickly. Fortunately, I was wearing wireless headphones, so I didn't have wires caught up. And I managed to do a full-on commando roll, come back up, and keep going. And I looked around, has anyone seen me? No one's seen me, it's okay. I didn't even lose any time on the run. I don't know how it happened. But as I was running at the start, first half of the run, I wasn't running along going, oh, my hands, they feel so great. But after I'd fallen over and hurt my hands, I spent the rest of the run really aware of my hands because they really hurt. I've got a bruise on my back as well. Oh, it's so hard to be me. You see, if you're hyper aware of something, it can be a sign that something is wrong. That's what's going on. Maybe with our egos, we notice it all the time. Our egos hurt, they're hyperinflated, or they're ready to go pop at any time, and we feel deflated. When we were reading in the first reading, in the reading I was reading, came across Philippians 2 verse 3, see it under the heading, Jesus humbly served, and we'll get to that in a moment. But just look down at 2 verse 3. What do you think of this? Paul's command to the Philippian church, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. Count others more significant than yourself. What do you make of that? Do you think that's right? Do you think that's a damaging way to live? What do you make of it? So that's not to deny the dignity and value God gives us, but it's about being so consumed with serving others, we think of ourselves less. It might seem destructive. I was reading something by there's a secular psychologist called Jonathan Haidt. I don't know if people have come across him. And he's been doing some research into this, and he says, the research shows serving and caring for others is more conducive to physical and mental well-being than being cared for. Hear that? Serving and caring others helps you more than being cared for. That's what the psychological research shows. So there's this a step forward in the treatment of Alzheimer's, or helping people cope with Alzheimer's, is to give them pets to look after. There's something about, it's not the animal, it's the act of looking after another rather than being looked after that actually improves their well-being. We're built to think of others ahead of ourselves. But here's a question. How do you become more self-forgetful? How are you going to become more other person-centered? Is it by going, come on, stop thinking of yourself quite as much. Stop thinking of yourself. That's not going to work, is it? It's still self-obsessed. Rather, one of the Bible's key answers to this question is that we would look at Jesus. Have a look down with me at the verse that's printed there under paths to humility. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says this. How transformation comes in the Christian life. We all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So beholding the glory, as you look at Jesus in the pages of Scripture, this is saying in its context, as you behold Jesus, what happens? You think that's glorious, I want that. And you'll become more like him from one degree of glory to another. So maybe we're to picture the newly engaged couple in the ring shop, and they're looking over the different rings, and suddenly her eyes rest on that one ring and she goes, that's the one, I must have that, that's so beautiful. And they just throw common sense out the window and they, get a loan out to get the thing, and they're paying back for years, but they just don't care because that's the beautiful thing that they must have. In a sense, that's what this passage is saying, that when you see Jesus as he really is, in his self-forgetfulness, in his service of others, well, that is going to, you're going to go, I want that for myself. I'm going to be transformed to be more like him. So this is a key path to humility. Look at Jesus, the truly humble one. this is him, his true divinity. So this is Jesus, God's selfie, if you like. When God takes a selfie, it's Jesus that you see. And this is him showing us true humanity, what we're made and saved to be. So let's, what we're going to do for the rest of the session is just look at Jesus' humility. Jesus as he humbly serves in eternity past, in his life, death, and in eternity future. So Jesus humbly serves in eternity past. So Philippians 2 invited us to start all the way back in eternity past. So there is Jesus. Have a look down at verse 6. Being in very nature God, in the form of God, with the full rights of God, yet he doesn't count equality with God the Father something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he makes himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, not losing his divinity by adding his humanity, taking the form of a servant. So we're to picture in our mind, what was Jesus doing in eternity past? What was God the Son doing? He was thinking of others. So supremely, he's thinking about the will of his Father. How can I serve my Father? So verse 8 says he was obedient to his Father's will. Chose to come to earth and die in obedience to God, the Father. And he was thinking of us, that we needed him to humble himself to death, even death on a cross. So he takes the nature of a servant. And he sets himself to consider the needs of those he's serving. Where do you see this kind of self-forgetful service? I mean, nothing compares to Jesus, right? But you see it a little bit in these people as they're awarded military awards for bravery. So I was reading about the last guy to get a Victoria Cross, so that's the highest award in the British Army for gallantry and bravery. So Private Johnson Bahari, he's driving an armoured vehicle through Iraq, and it was hit by multiple rocket-propelled grenades, and there were multiple casualties. But Bahari was forced to open the hatch and drive the armoured vehicle out of danger, but to do that, he had to open his own head up to shots coming from left, right and centre. And then, still under heavy fire, he dragged his injured comrades out of the armoured vehicle and to safety. Just an amazing act of bravery, honoured with the Victoria Cross. And yet, as he was speaking, being interviewed afterwards, he's just saying, look, in the moment, you're just caught up with what other people need. You're just not thinking about yourself. You're caught up with what my friends need. Or maybe we're to think of a new mum struggling in it, but self-forgetfully thinking, you know, what does my child need next? Self-forgetful service. Jesus humbly served in eternity past. Jesus humbly served in his life and death. What would you do if you had all the power Jesus had and you were on earth? What would you do? Have you seen the film Bruce Almighty? It's a bit old, isn't it, these days? But the film imagines the scene. So Jim Carrey's there and he, you know, it's all about him. So, you know, he's late for work and in a massive traffic jam. So he just goes, and all the cars park to one side and he can just drive straight through the middle. He's trying to romance Jennifer Aniston, so he's like, oh, I just think the moon needs to be a bit bigger, so he just pulls the moon a little bit closer, just to help set the atmosphere. It's all him-centered. But that's the opposite of what Jesus does with his power. So he has the power, and yet you find him not in a palace, but a cattle shed, not rich, but poor, not associating with the great and the good, but with the rejects of society. Look at him. Isn't that... Think about it. Go away, read a gospel account sometime. Just why does he do that? Isn't that good and right? Isn't that different to how others live? Then in his death, this is what this king, this ruler, self-forgetfully chooses. So you'll see there some words from Mark 10, 42 to 45. Jesus called them together, his disciples, And he said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus' favorite term for himself, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he calls us to service on the basis of what he does, to be like him. It's humble. So maybe just like Johnson Bahari's wounded comrades, we're lying there helpless in need of help. We have lived the self-obsessed life, not obsessed with serving God, not obsessed with serving others, obsessed with ourselves. And that puts us on collision course with God. Jesus, judge of the world, he's the one who loves humility and he hates self-obsession. He should judge us rightly. He should humble us into eternity under his feet. And yet, what does he do? He comes not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he takes the bullet that is coming for us. He dies so that we don't have to. He humbly serves to deal with our pride. Maybe you're not a Christian person here today, and just looking in on the Christian faith, you know, you're really welcome with us. There's nowhere else we'd rather you were than here with us. Don't have to be a Christian to keep coming back week on week. Come. What do you make of this Jesus? Do you see how his humility works? That he's ready, he's offering us free, full forgiveness for everything wrong we've ever done, every self-obsession, and the pain that causes to others. He offers us forgiveness. And you see how this worldview, if this worldview is right, if Jesus is at the heart of the worldview, this would truly motivate his followers to be humble, wouldn't it? I mean, I was out last night with some non-Christian friends at someone's stag do, and people asking me question after question after question. But what it came down to is they'd met a whole load of Christians who hadn't lived up to the standards of Christ. And I was like, oh, and that's me. And they pointed out something that I'd done wrong as well. And I was like, yeah, no, that's right. Judge Christianity on the progress of Christians, yes. On Christ. Don't judge Christianity on Christians. Judge it on Christ. This worldview should push us in the direction of serving others. So serving others, we could talk about lots of different areas, couldn't we? What's it going to be like at work? What are we going to be consumed with? Career progression or the good of the team? Comfort and ease or the need of our family? Having friends at church or being a friend at church? What are we going to be obsessed with? But I want the main thing we go away with today to be looking at Jesus and being in awe of Jesus. That you behold his glory and that you be transformed from one degree of glory to another. So before we get to application proper, in terms of what it looks like in our lives, I just wanted to do this last point. Jesus humbly serves in eternity future. Jesus humbly serves in eternity future. There's only one thing I find harder than serving other people, and that's keeping on serving other people. I'm all right for a bit, and then I get bored or selfish, and I quit. And the reason I raise that is that sometimes the way we can read a passage like Philippians 2 or Mark 10 is that we think that subtly somewhere deep down, Jesus serves for a bit and then he quits. So he comes down to earth in sacrificial service of others. He dies, takes the punishment we deserve, humbled to death, even death on a cross. And then, well, he stops serving. He goes back up to sit on his throne in heaven that every knee would bow before him. Now that's right. Don't mishear me saying that's not where Jesus is. And yet I want us to look at a passage that helps us understand that Jesus is always the master and yet always the master who serves. Okay, so this is Luke 12:35. So it starts off with the picture you expect. Jesus is the master, and he's commanding his servants, so that's us. So what does he say, 35? Stay dressed, ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. Like servants waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. So we're to be obsessed with serving Jesus. It's our call. He's our master, our king. And you get this passage later on in Luke, in chapter 17, that completely backs it up in a very similar picture. Let me read out that to you before we get to the final verse. Luke 17:7 says this: suppose one of you has a servant ploughing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready, and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. No, he's the master, we're the servants. Unworthy servants, do your duty. Think of that picture. Now read Luke 12:37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he, the master, Jesus, will dress himself to serve, will have them, the servants, recline at the table, and he, Jesus, the master, will come and wait on them, the servants. So Luke deliberately puts both of those stories in his account. He's trying to say the truth is in the fold between those two pages. That Jesus is always the master who always deserves our service, and yet he is always the master who serves, who in eternity future dresses himself to serve. I don't know if the poshest meal I've ever been to was in Nottingham for my brother's celebration of his graduation, and he was friends with the son of a millionaire, and we went for a nice meal. But the thing you notice in a really posh restaurant was that the waiters. I noticed the waiters. I did notice the food; it was really tasty. I noticed the waiters that they were all there, focused on serving you. They'd bring the plates. There were eight of us around the table, and there were four of them came out at the exact same time holding the plates, and the lead waiter gave a nod, and they all sat down, and the food just... You guys are like, yeah, that's normal in the restaurants I eat in. It's not normal in the restaurants I eat in. I'm like, 10 minutes later, the second dish comes out for my mate. You know, and then they come and collect the plates at the end of this 10-course taster menu, and they'd all come at the same time and just go, yes, and whisk it away. And my brother played a trick on them, and he looked like he was finished. And then as they started coming and they got in place, he then picked up his knife and fork again to start eating. And they were like, and they just disappeared off again. No, they're not finished. Don't do that. That's naughty. But do you see the picture of service, though? Jesus dresses himself to serve and comes and waits on us in eternity. So there's one way of reading this passage, and in a sense it's right. It would be a cost-benefit analysis. You know, it's worth serving now because Jesus will come and serve you in eternity. Cost-benefit, it's worth it. But that's not... I don't think that's the only way to read it. I think there's a way to read it that gives you a glimpse into the eternal character of Jesus. That he is eternally ready to keep on serving. Behold the Lord. As we all see the glory of the Lord, we're transformed to become like him. From one degree of glory to another. We see that diamond in the shop. We see him and we go, I want that for myself. That is beautiful. That is right. You can some things are an acquired taste, aren't they? So you don't like it to start off with. And yet after a while, your palate gets used to red wine or whatever it is, or better wine instead of cheap wine. You get an acquired taste and you realize it really is amazing. That's what this I'm trying to do with this sermon, is what Jesus' character does for us. It gives us an acquired taste for self-forgetful service of others. So what should we do with this sermon? I think we should gaze at Jesus. So we should read our Bibles, we should go to church, we should get to growth group, that we could gaze at Jesus and see him, that we'd want to be like him. What it look like to live this self-forgetful service? Well, I mean, pride and humility, they're so pervasive that you know, just pick any area of life and there'll be something for you to think about. What would it look like to be more self-forgetful, more servant-hearted in this area? Let me just pick a few for us. Work, what kind of co-worker or boss are we going to be? Are we going to be consumed with our career, our little section of task, or consumed in the hours we're able to give work as we look to serve others? Outside of work, are we going to be consumed with the good of others, helping others, serving society through doing our job well? Maybe that sounds dangerous. Who looks after me if I don't look after me? I think we're to ask, who looked after Jesus when Jesus didn't look after Jesus? God the Father exalted him to the right hand. What about life at home? I heard the wedding sermon advice once. Just ask every once in a while, what is it actually like to be married to me? What is it actually like? How does your spouse feel having you around? Are you a blessing? Do you help? What's it like being my housemate? What does it look like at home? What's it like at church? On Wednesday night at Growth Group, we studied a passage from Hebrews chapter 3 that was saying, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you a sinful, unbelieving heart. Exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So the presupposition behind that passage is that each one of us in church has a heart that is capable of hardening over to Jesus, to forgetting that we should serve and love and trust him. I need other people, that passage is saying, to keep me on track. And every day I need that, whatever that looks like in our individual situations. But the thing is, I'm so self-obsessed. I read that passage, and my main application of that, if that's true, is make sure other people serve me and help me keep going. Whereas that's not what the passage says. The passage says, make sure you serve other people and keep them going. That was the main application. Prayer, what marks our prayer lives? Is there a prayer life? But if there is, are we consumed with praying about ourselves and our own situations, or are we consumed with praying for others? Talking to other people about Jesus, consumed with what people think of me and I won't speak, or consumed with what they think of Jesus. Conversation, do we dominate conversation? I feel I can be guilty of this sometimes. You take up too much space because I'm consumed with making sure other people know I've got clever things to say. Or are we consumed with wondering, well, you know, how is this other person? I want to hear from them. I want to know them more deeply. I mean, you can get it wrong the other way. You can fail to disclose yourself in any way, and that cuts against the relationship as well, doesn't it? But what does it look like to humbly serve in conversation? I'll close just by telling you about Mike Ovey. He was the former principal of the theological college that Marcus and I attended. And he's one of the people I knew who'd spend, he died suddenly in January. very sadly. He's one of the people I knew who spent the most time gazing at Jesus, if you like, seeing what he's like in Scripture. He literally wrote the book on humility. He wrote a book on divine humility. But as he'd spent his time looking at Jesus, it made him more humble. He ended up a speaker in international demand. And yet, as people were coming together to grieve, there was just story after story of people who just go, no, he gave me hours of his time to sit with me and just mourn and be with me as I struggled, or to fight my corner. It was amazing. I mean, people didn't share them. It was only once he died that people shared the number of stories. I was aware of one in particular, just hour after hour, fighting this person's corner, loving them, caring for them, just humbly obsessed with what's going on in other people's lives. We're to serve, to humbly be self-forgetful, and to keep on serving. Jesus, do you see what he's like? Do you want to be like him? What's it going to look like for you to take the next step to be like him, or the first step in trusting him here today? Let me lead us in prayer. Father, we praise you for your mercy. We just thank you for the wonder of who you are and who Jesus reveals you to be. We thank you that eternally Jesus is ready to serve and aims at service and is self-forgetful in that. Please, we in our better moments we see that as wonderful and beautiful, and we want that for ourselves. Please change us to be like him. And we pray that you get the honor you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.